finish everything.
Members of the committee must remain so that we must deem the minutes of the 20th of February of the meeting held in the Kulu chamber. So that we adopt this. The second thing is that we have received a media release from the SABC that is trying to explain what transpired in this whole saga that you see going around in the country. But we are going to be afforded an opportunity by the SABC to come and deal with us on this. We have arranged that we must see the SABC today. Unfortunately, they are dealing with some legal issues around their matter. So they will not be in a position to come. The statement that they have given to us, the draft of that statement, which was on the 14th of June 2007, that the arbitration proceedings were postponed while the arbitrator was deciding the SABC on both applications, including the fact that the TSN has not conducted itself in good faith in this matter. Secondly, that the arbitration last Monday, which was the Monday before the 14th, gave this judgment in favor of the SABC application. The matter will now proceed on the broadened terms of reference and pleading. Should the SABC be successful in the arbitration, which we are confident will in this case, then the deal with SuperSport will be nullified. That's what the SABC is saying. Even if the SuperSport deal were not nullified and avoided. The TSL would still be obliged to the offer the rights to the SABC to exercise the rights to match the SuperSport offer in terms of the contract between the SABC and the TSL. And therefore, the CEO is addressing us here in the committee and saying this matter is in their good hands. And therefore, I think the committee will not be able to comment on this matter now that there is this media release from the SABC that has been sent to us. We will entitle to the SABC at an appropriate time about this matter. Yes, Commissioner.
Chair, I think we note that media release by the SABC. There's quite a few things that is not as obvious to us as it might be to them, because we are not part of those type of discussions that are taking place between them and the PSL. And I want to propose that at the appropriate time, we will have to decide to call all the affected parties to get their version so that we can decide amongst them from actually where we are. There's conflicting views coming from, even their president is conflicting to something else that was said yesterday. And really, this committee is not in a position to pronounce itself on the legitimacy or otherwise of the matter in front of us. But we look forward to the engagement to all those stakeholders involved in this process. It's very, very important.
Yeah, no, we were not taking this, but it was an information for members that at least they have an audacity of the but you must be clear, we are going to interact with SABC as accounting to Parliament. And the others would come probably in any other way. But our obligation in terms of the law is with SABC, and therefore it is going to be obliged to talk to us. The other second matter, this one is for would allow SASCOC to, no, not SASCOC, the preparations for the Olympic Games between the department and SASCOC to go on. Thank you. Thank you.
Chairperson, honorable members and guests to this committee. Thank you very much for the invitation to present on the preparation by both the department and the South African Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee on the preparation for Beijing 2008. You've invited both parties, but we decided to make one presentation as we are working very closely together on the preparation. Please allow me to, while I'm trying to set up here, to also introduce the delegation. I'm Greg Fenix, as you know, the acting national partner. Next to me is a person who's going to make a major speech here today, sir. The new chief director in the department, Alison Birchall. I'm sure you've known her from a different angle. Then the vice president of CESCOP, senior vice president, Ajira Kaji. And then next to Ajira is Mr. Kayan Jake, also from CESCOP. See, as soon as we're there here, we'll go. Chairperson, maybe we must have the opportunity to ambush Mr. Mbeki to give us an update on the two sports councils in the Nelson Mandela. I see they have convened a meeting for Saturday, so while Greg is taking his time there, Mr. Mbeki can tell us how far that process is. That's where we saw him last time, you can recall.
I can see now he's come closer to me. In the meantime, while they're analyzing that, I think it is important because we went there, not on our own. I think if there are other members of the media and what they are sitting on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the Sports Portfolio Committee. My name is Kaya Majenka, the manager for CESCOP. As you will recall that during the process I was deployed with CESCOP to go and make sure that the disputes that are taking place down there that are locked are mitigated. I won't waste the time, Mr. Chairman, the committee. Just to give you an update, we are meeting next week on Monday. Fortunately, both the Sports Council that we are trying to unite. We are now finalizing the dissolution part. Next week, myself and Mr. Odolo, who's the manager for education in the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality, was tasked by the councillor to map out the way forward in terms of taking and finalizing the process. So we'll be presenting that next week on Monday. Hopefully, I would say now we are left with that meeting and the final one, which will decide the vote, you know, in terms of which I will run the sports of that in that area. So I'm happy to say, Chairperson, so far there was a tremendous progress, you know, in terms of facilitating that process. Yes, I was quite hard on them in terms of distributing and disseminating the information, but I would say, at this point in time, everything is intact, and I'm quite positive about the process. That's all that falls on the agenda. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr.
Chairman,
okay. Because I've seen the attendance of SASPOC, in fact, when we concluded the matter here, it goes to SASPOC, they started that matter again, and their own process. Because we have a discussion that we have, and we have given the letter from SASPOC by the president of SASPOC, that in this committee we approve that process that they are doing. But down the line, there was another process that the president himself is carrying out and all that. I don't think it is correct. Because if anybody comes to Parliament and decides under this scholarship, it can only that matter can be used to them. It means you say I was misleading them, which has huge consequences. You say I was misleading them and therefore I'll go and have another process. Let us look into that kind of institution. It's a very comfortable and helpful institution. Because the body that they form again in the character it has collapsed, as you guys have witnessed, it has collapsed 3 times, and it's still going to collapse. Still going to collapse. Thank you. We can start the public.
Thank you very much. We are ready with the presentation. We'll see from the presentations, members, the integration with department will come through, and the CESCOC, where they play a role in the preparation. Ajira is going to do the presentation, sir, and if there's any questions that you'd like to ask, all four of us will be able to answer those questions. So I hand over to Ajira.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning,
Chairperson.
Guests and members of the media. I would like to apologize for our president, John Premier. He was invited and he couldn't make it, so we accept his apologies. Okay, as Greg has indicated, this is a joint venture with responsible for team presentation. So I'll just take you through the process that we CESCOC is responsible for team preparation and presentation. The SRSA is Sports Recreation South Africa, provides funding and logistical support to CESCOC for Team South Africa. It's an annual grant. Provides funding and staff for the hospitality center. There will be a hospitality center in Beijing for Kaya, and that is predominantly for South Africans and the athletes and so forth. And assist with protocol issues. We have a member of staff from the department that is looking after the protocol. The Olympic Games are scheduled from the 8th to the 24th of August in Beijing, China. There are 38 sports on the program. The Paralympic Games are scheduled from the 6th to the 17th September. There are 20 sports on the program in Beijing for Paralympics. Those are the logos, the CESCOC logo for the Olympic Games and the Beijing Summer Olympics logo, and then the Paralympic CESCOC logo and the Beijing 2008 Paralympic Games logo. Funding, the National Lottery Distribution Agency, one of our funders for sports, Sport and Recreation South Africa, and then the Olympic Solidarity through the IOC. Sponsors, we will get the sign up to sponsors by the end of the month. We're in the process of finalizing the contract at CESCOC. Just as a matter of interest, I think it's important to put this in that Australia spent $200 million on dollars preparing the team for Athens and got a medal haul of 49 medals. We spent $60 million. And South Africa spent $60 million preparing their team for Athens and returned with 5 medals. I think what we're saying, the more resources we put into our team preparation, we come back with more medals. Those are the Olympic sports. I'm not going to go read through them. You do have a handout. These are the sports that participate. That doesn't mean that we'll be participating in all the sports. Sorry, Paralympics. What is it? That's the Paralympics. Okay, next. Qualification and selection. Meetings have been held currently and have been held with National Federation to agree on the selection criteria for each sport. Qualifying for the games does not mean automatic selection. You may qualify, but this doesn't guarantee you that you're going to be in the team. The All Africa Games are part of the preparation process for the Olympic Games. The All Africa Games take place from the 11th of July. Until the 23rd of July in Algeria. And just for the interest of the members here, that the team in South Africa with the officials will be 514. Actually, it's an official, so it's the largest team that we're taking. Operation Excellence, funded by SRSA from the National Academy budget to financially assist athletes in their preparation. 74 athletes currently are on the Operation Excellence program. Athletes are graded into four categories. Payments made to the National Federation to pay the athletes. There's your OPEC selection criteria. I'm not going to go through each one of them. But for the potential medalists, they must be ranked from 1 to 5. Achievement of medals in world championships and the performance assessed every year. Category 2, potential finalists, top 8, world ranking from 6 to 10, achievement of a finalist, top 10, 8 finish at the world championship, and that is also assessed in performance every year. Category 3, potential participants, world ranking from 11 to 16, achievement of medals at continental level and not world, and the performance is also assessed every year. Category 4, which is development and that has potential, not probably for Beijing, but 2012. Athletes who produce encouraging results at continental and other equivalent championships like the Zone 6 and so forth will be considered, and some of them have been considered. And the certification. Okay, this is team sports. Here the potential ranking from 1 to 6. Potential participants, achievement at continental level, teams with at least 40% from the historically previously disadvantaged sector. Assessment of performance is also year to date. The breakdown of the assistance that's given to the athlete. Category 1, 10,000 rand per month. Category 2, 7,000 rand. Category 3, 4,000. And category 4 is 2,000. Just the point here that on this amount, the athlete still has to pay as you earn. And maybe for you, chairperson, maybe we can look at that. And this is the athlete. The OPEC demographic breakdown, the male, 47 athletes, 21 is black and 27 white, 62%, female, 27, 8 black, 19 white, and the total is 74 athletes, and that's the breakdown, and the percentage of the athletes that's on the OPEC program. Olympics on the diabetes program.
Go back to the breakdown again. I must see whether you are just about to breach the law. Just because it would happen that before you even go to Beijing, there is a law in place, so I'm trying to assist you. Let's go to that breakdown.
Okay.
Yes?
Okay. The main athlete is 47.
No, sorry, I think we're busy copying, you know, that information onto another computer. That's supposed to be 47.
Yes.
We apologize for that.
That's operation,
okay.
Yes. Strategy program. There's 6 athletes that were granted scholarships under this program from 2006 to 2008. That's gymnastics, judo, shooting, and table tennis. each athlete receives 2,800 rand per month from UMA in this program. Technical courses. The following schools were granted an opportunity to capacitate their coaches and technical officials. And there's a breakdown of the federations that benefited. Each federation was given 70,000 rand to conduct the course. Okay. The National Academy Program, funded by SRFA, 15 million including the OTEX program. Tender was awarded to the High Performance Center at the University of Victoria. And this tender ends at the of this contract ends at the end of March 2008. The full range of support is offered to all sports on the Olympic and All Africa Games program. Athletes can either reside at HBC full time or come for training camps for no less than 5 days at a time. SACOC monitors and tracks all athletes making use of this program. A residential program is a great home, students, 16 athletes. I hope this is correct, the percentage as well. Percentage female, 50, and percentage black, 50 should be 50, or 70. What is the color?
My argument is that there was seems to be
but there was 10 to access.
If 10 is good enough.
Yeah, if 10 is good enough, it should be 100. No. I think you have 10 athletes still. If 6 are female, it's 60%. And if 3 are black, it's
30%.
It's not male and female, I don't know.
And it's
right now. And it's right now. And I said, if you leave us like that, then you're going to be there.
Those are the sports that are made at the High Performance Center. Okay. Academy program, I'm not going to go through it.
Let's go back. I think it's 1 and 2.
Okay.
Actually, if I may clarify that to you,
sometimes.
Now, there we don't have females, and again, we don't have the only athlete that is white. That's why we've got the results. Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle. The academy program, those are the camps that were held for individual sports, the number of athletes that participated. We do have a handout, I'm not going to go through each sport there. Okay. Yeah. We have karate there, they're not part of the Olympics, but it's also focused on the All Africa Games. Okay. The number of athletes that benefited from this camp, 14 sports, 254. And the individual 356. Through the lotto application, after the distributing agency was put in place, we assisted our national federation in applying for funding for the Olympic Games as well as the All Africa Games.
No,
I mean, refugees, and also we weren't able to have meetings because of some challenges the past week. Yes, no, no, it's now, yeah, given life. So, and I think this is assisted most of the federations in the preparation for the honor to him leading us to preparation.
Let me ask you a question concerning the Eastern Fund, which I'm not in a position to ask. I'm saying this.
Yeah, are you a member of that distribution agency?
Yes, I am, Chair.
Tell me, that's your time. Do you think its agenda is fulfilling its spot in China? And how do you think it has to feed to us to see in the Free State, in Northwest, and anywhere else, how is that? Because let me tell you what we're doing. We have not managed to call them because they're in complete turmoil. When we call them some other time, they show us that they even give the graveyards and the taxi rank and all those other things. But the money that they are giving to sport, it's very little. Now, I do not know whether when you check even in your founding principle, were you intending to fence the graveyards or what is it that is there in Lotto? Because when I check to the ANC politics that has led to the formation of Lotus, was purely on sport. It was not on any other matter. There is no any other argument there. But suddenly there is an argument now for the road, for the water, for the fence of the graveyard, maybe also trying to put a burial society there. I will not be surprised one day when they come to Parliament and say they are forming a burial society now there.
Chair, if I may just respond that the distributing agencies to provide funding for sports at all levels, from clubs right up to national federations and the macro sports structure. With the chairperson now, we have changed the criteria in terms of who should be applying and who should be getting funding. I think one of the challenges for us as the members sitting there that we are not allowed to, and I think because of the lack of not enough resources at the National Lotteries Board, to once funding has been allocated to go and monitor. Because when organizations or clubs apply for funding, they have the constitution, financial statements, the business plan and all that. And on that basis, on trust, the funding is allocated. But what we need is a mechanism where this is monitored. To say the funding has been given, have you put up a sporting facility, are the children getting their clothing or whatever. And I think that is the challenge that we have. And as distributing agency members, we cannot do it.
No, I think I was just a little bit upset to you. We will get those details from when we meet with the Lotus. Because there are a plethora of questions that we are going to raise with Lotus around how this whole money is conducted. There is a lot of money there.
Yes.
Lot of money. It's almost double the budget for the French that is there. But it doesn't make an impact in sport. But we have been discussing.
Absolutely correct. The last allocation, I'm not sure what this allocation is going to be. It will come from 700 million.
It's almost a billion.
Yes.
Yes. And a billion runs in the country. At least somebody must say there is a movement to call them one day. Okay, go ahead.
I conclude anything else. The challenges we have. Late start of 2006-2007 and roll over requested for funding not spent. I think that's more from the department's point of view. Funding budget drawn up for 2007-2008 for 17 million without the inclusion of the government big squad. One of the reasons there would be that they do have sponsors in place, am I correct? Up to a point, Alison, she's the expert on the paralympics. Athletes assist for improvement. Need a 4-year funding cycle. I think this is our president, my president, Mr. Master Shishi, has requested this before, that we do need funding for a 4-year cycle. And then integration with Transport Academy System and National College, which George already asked.
So we need 4-year
funding cycle.
Presently, how is it happening?
Every year.
But you can't do it. How do you work with the projection, let's say, in when we work now, we know our budget is going to be $1 million for this coming 4 years. Then you're able to set up one. But if it is on daily basis, how do you say? Because the country can get less of a dollar an hour. But when we have an agreement that talks in terms of the medium term expenditure of government, then you're able to project it.
You're absolutely correct, and this is one of the challenges that we have. With the sponsors, they sign a 4-year contract. Like I've indicated earlier, that when we sign up the two sponsors, hopefully by the end of June, that will be for the 2 years till the end of the Olympics, till December 2008.
What should we do, Regina, for that realignment?
One of the... What the president of the Mosquishi, we had read last week, was one of the fundamental points that we have to, lottery needs to allocate not only to the federation, but to TAPCOP funding for the 4-year cycle. Because in that cycle, it's Commonwealth, it's All Africa Games, and it's more or less the same athletes leading up to the Beijing. And I think also from FRSA, we need to know what that funding is going to be. So, yes, and I'm glad you raised that because that is one of the... Thank you.
It's very nice to put in the hot seat straight away. I'd just like to address some of the challenges that was on the slide that you've been referring to. And the first thing in terms of the late start, the tender document for the National Academy Program was only signed off in June 2006. So that meant we missed out on getting it operational from April until June, which meant that we had probably out of 16 million rand, I think, Greg, we had about 9 million rand, which was not spent. So we requested Treasury for a rollover on that, and as I understand Treasury's mechanisms, if it's an ongoing project, then you know, hopefully they'll look very kindly on it, depending on whether it's, you know, within the percentages that we're allowed to reallocate. And secondly, in terms of the 4-year planning process, as you know very well, there's a medium-term expenditure framework that we operate upon. However, we went through severe problems, and Greg would probably be better placed to talk about this, where the budget within Sport and Recreation South Africa seems to be realigned away from supporting federations and NGOs such as TASCOP. So within this year's funding budget, this year, this financial year, there is no specific allocation to TASCOP. So we are having to take 9 million rand out of the ministry, or 20.33 million rand that we have for federations and NGOs to be able to fund SASCOC. So within the adjustment process, we're going to be trying to get some additional funding. So over the past number of years, you know, SASCOC's been receiving, and its predecessors have been receiving a comparatively small amount of 2 million rand from government to fund the All Africa Games team, when the budget is probably closer to 27 million rand. Similarly, for the Olympic team, they get 2 million rand in terms of helping to fund the presentation and the preparation. So
when you say
manager funding Suscope. Funding Suscope on what? It's a program that is going to run, because my understanding is that Suscope would work on those programs. Like now, preparations for the 20, for the Olympic Games, you give Suscope money to prepare a team. But when you give them the 9 million, was it for preparations of any other team or was just for the Novelist?
It's predominantly in this financial year for the All Africa Games team. And as Jerry said, there's a lot of overlap between the likely Olympians with those in the All Africa Games team. Suscope also has to
Then Greg, with your respect, then it doesn't become a problem of finding Suscope under severe or conditions, because the department knows that Suscope has an obligation to prepare a team, and therefore it can't, the department cannot say, we didn't have funding for a preparation of the team. Maybe for Suscope on the operational basis could be another reason, yeah. But I do not want to say the reason that we didn't prepare or we didn't have the budget for Suscope, I accept that. But that 9 million doesn't fit to Suscope. It's a 9 million inevitably that we're supposed to have because we're going to prepare a team. And then that team is supposed to be carried by Suscope because Suscope is preparing that team. In essence, there's nothing that has been given to Suscope.
Yeah, I think that you're correct. We don't just give money for the sake of giving money. It's for programs. And in this case, it's, the programs are part of Operation X, because under the National Academy program, we don't fund, for example, teams to go and prepare in Germany, or prepare in, or the athletes go to Mexico sometimes to prepare. The money is just for the high performance center, athletes that exist in the country. There's also this year a student team that Suscope is his first sponsor for, that they're taking to the World Student Games. So it's our money for programs. And one of the things that I think that we've been trying to get into Treasury is that, you know, it's no use just to fund programs also. Because you need people to run the programs efficiently. So there's a reluctance to give money for administration. And I think that people don't really understand sport who make that type of determination, because sponsors don't want to fund administration. There's a reluctance of government to fund administration. And I think that unless we professionalize our administration, we're not going to get the results that we want, no matter how much money we have. And I think that is something that we need to get through to everybody. We need to fund our administration so that we can run a professional outfit there. And it's something that we would need your support to, Chairperson, at this commission.
No, Greg, I think we are absolutely right. But that is not policy. It's some other thing that we don't understand, which we have to do. Policy will never pronounce itself in reducing the quality, efficiency of the money that is going to put in place there for it to have better investment. But I think it's something that we have to deal with as well. If it just needs a political push, we have to talk about that. But it can't be a policy that we only fund programs, and therefore programs that people that are implementing those programs could be any other thing that we should have in the street, and the program is not going to be visible. I do not think that is the case. Now, it would mean, as the statement that you have, we funded Suscope 9 million would not be a correct statement. The correct statement would be, you have given Suscope 9 million to prepare for a team. Because anybody who reads that statement, reads the statement that you have given Suscope 9 million, therefore you ask many questions of what 9 million is that one. Because if it's for Suscope operations, they say it's for Suscope operations, but if it's for team preparation, then say giving Suscope 9 million for team preparation, because it is giving an impression that you're doing it to Suscope.
I didn't say you 100% right. There's no way that any government department gives an unconditional grant. There are conditions attached to it, and our case is for programs.
Yes,
I just corrected. I think that what the point that we're actually getting to is that we need to be able to realign our budget to ensure that we give the proper support to the federations and to the macro organisation for sport. We are in a very embarrassing position where the lottery actually funds sport federations to a greater extent than we do. And if we're going to be talking about the bill which is still going through the process within Parliament, we're going to have to find a way to reassess our budget, particularly given the imperatives of that bill in terms of transformation and cut development. So, you know, we need to be able to assess within the department and with our policy makers and with yourselves what we should be funding and to what extent. And so do we actually get involved in the high performance type of thing to give support to SASCOC and to the federations to prepare teams? And it's been the position of the department over the years that we need to be involved in that. Or do we just solely concentrate on the transformation level? Then again, what do we do in terms of the international events which are being hosted in South Africa? Because those have a spin-off effect in terms of our economy, number one, but also in many instances to give some impetus to our international relations policies as well. So there's a big discussion that we do need to have around what we do fund and why and to what extent. And you know, if we can get things right within our budgeting process, then I think that you know, if we have a properly coordinated component, what does lottery fund and why and to what extent? What does government fund through the department to what, why and to what extent? And then some of the other NGOs that exist, you know, so that we can get a properly coordinated system in place, and maybe the portfolio committee, you know, can facilitate that type of discussion to some extent as well. Because it is important for us, because there is a significant amount of money around, but it's not being properly utilized. I mean, we've even had situations where some of the provincial governments have told us that they almost don't want the DORA grant for club development or for mass participation, because that DORA grant doesn't allow them to put people in place to be able to manage and implement the conditions related to that grant. So if government entities are saying that, then we must also understand the federation is saying that as well, because they are predominantly run by volunteers. So we do need to find a way where a component of the project funding that we give as government is allowed to be useful for the administration component. And similarly with lottery, but the lottery big board, i.e. Professor Ram and those people, are saying that they don't want to have any money going into the administration component. And you know, it's no wonder that in some instances the federation simply cannot spend.
Would they go to their great extent?
I'm not sure where that's going, but hopefully it's testing around the sports facilities, but it is a problem. You know, so I don't think it's the distribution agency which is the issue, because I think that you know, with the background in sport, it's the people who manage the overall lottery process that perhaps need to gain an understanding from your perspective as well, to have a look at that. Sorry, Greg?
I think we've engaged the National Treasury from the beginning about the funding, and we now know more or less what they want, and we're working on that exercise to do that. But it's all going to be part of the other exercise that we promised to deliver by the end of November to you. It's a plan that will speak to all these things, and hopefully, and not hopefully, it might give us direction, give clarity, role clarification, funding. All aspects will be covered in that particular, what we're going to call a white paper 2, the plan for sport.
You know what is that? Check the policy documents of the ANC next week, called the blueprint on sport. And that is exactly all these things that Eric is talking about. Bring them together and say, the issue of the people that are working in sport and all those other things. And when you come out of that conference, we'll be having at least a document that guides us on how we should shape the sport. I think we are getting there. Yeah, the ruling party will come up with a blueprint. So that that white paper is going to be informed by that resolution, Greg.
I thought you wanted me to call it a blue paper.
I'm just going to say that I hope that we won't get into trouble for plagiarizing it if we do use it. We'll promise to give you credit for it. And I think the last component is that you know, from a departmental perspective, we need to make sure that the academy program tender is extended. Because as you saw in one of the slides earlier on, it finishes at the end of March 2008 before the Olympics and Paralympics take place. So that presents us with a particular challenge as well. So hopefully it's going to be covered in the NTEF and the adjustment processes. And the last comment is really that, as you saw earlier, the budget for the academy program is 16 million rand. The budget that SASCOC has drawn up in terms of operation excellence and the full-time residential program and the training camps that are being held is closer to 17.5 million there. And that does not include the Paralympic athletes. And I think it's important from a government perspective, given the imperatives of government to address issues of gender and disadvantage in general in the youth and people with disabilities, it's going to be very important for us to be able to get some additional funding into the system for the Paralympic athletes as well. And I think overall that just gives an indication of the level of demand that there is from our top athletes to be given that support so that they can go out and perform at the end of the day, and that's really what we're all about.
Thank you, Greg. Listen, I want to say this so that you and Greg are here. The issue of disability and gender is non-negotiable. If there should be projections there, we must do them, that budget passes this committee. Doesn't come from any other heaven. Today, there will be a budget there, whether opposing or not, but there will be passing the budget today in the National Assembly. So the issue of disability and gender, they are imperatives for equalization of opportunity. So we must not just wishy-washy about them, we must be upright about those kind of things. Thank you very much. Are you through, Greg? We can get to the question. Comrade Cora, Comrade Bula, Comrade Masang. Oh, another Masang.
Yeah, tell you, Comrade Chair. Comrade Chair, I just want to understand the comparison which has been made here around the funding. South Africa, 60 million for 5 medals, and then Australia, $200 million for 49 medals. Can we get a comparison with any country in Africa, let's say Kenya, what is their budget, and whatever, and how many medals did they bring? Because, you know, I was listening yesterday also, as I was driving, when we were talking about the issue of SABC. They like to equate South Africa with America and Australia. And I wanted to change to look what is happening here. Why can you sort of say how much they put in and how much better do they bring back? Thanks.
Another question, Bula?
Thank you, Chair. I think I've been covered by the previous speaker. But it's totally unfair to make a comparison with Australia, the amount of money that has been put into sport in comparison to South Africa, as we are a developing country, and therefore the issue of medals in comparison to funding should be a concern. But we are dealing and grappling with a major problem of transformation and mass participation, and therefore the comparison in terms of monetary value of money against medals would be totally a misleading concept to in terms of guidelines.
Thank you, Bula. Cedric?
Thank you, Chairperson. My question actually regarding this money spent is just on, do we really spend the whole money on individual athletes, or do we spend another money? Say, how many percentage is spent on athletes and how much money is spent on what to call operation, whatever they can give. And the other question that I want to ask is just started here. We are saying qualifying for the game does not mean automatic selection. Just start with what do we mean then by that one? And the other one that I want to ask is, we are talking about the social number on our bridge democratic breakdown, we are talking about almost 74 athletes, that's male and female. Is this a number that we're saying is a number that is going to the Olympic or talking about something that's totally nothing to do with us?
The last person will be
Donald Smith. Now, Chairperson, we want to wish the department the service well with the preparation of this effort, you know. We fully support the idea that the President also highlighted to members of the budgetary process. It needs to be aligned to what the desired outcomes is, because at the moment it's huge. In fact, in certain instances I think we're expecting miracles to happen. And we are not putting the proper processes and resources in place. My question is just a general one, and that is in terms of the outcomes that we're getting from the different academies and high performance centers, really the concept, has it really developed and advanced to such a stage where we can put our faith into that system, and what needs further to be done to refine that, because that is really where the finer detail and attention is given to these athletes to prepare them for ultimate competition at the highest level.
We will come here for the issue at the committee. Come at me on this thing of the qualification, because it's confusing. And I wanted again to ask just a general question and to say, while preparing for this Olympic Games, how was the strategy of bringing in the previously disadvantaged people in this regard, or whether we are going to have people who've been there for quite some time? That is my general question. Then with a open demographic breakdown, I wanted to just register my concern to say, I'm under female. Then when you look at legs, it is on legs. For me, it's still not palatable. I think we do need to uplift it. And we are still preparing. I wonder if there are still if we can still relook at it at this point in time. Thank you.
Chairperson, my question is about scholarships. You said you granted 6 scholarships to 6 athletes. Now, how do you determine which athletes should get scholarships? And I suppose those are the names at the bottom there, those are the 6. How do you determine which athlete should get a scholarship? And where do, you know, what is the scholarship about? What does it mean, a scholarship?
I don't know today. They still not act like they say those are members of the ANC. So I don't want to listen to that one. But there is some policy sending me.
Okay. We'll share the responses to the members. Let me take one or two. I think the comparison to Australia, I think it's well understood. And I don't think we mean that we must be there. We understand we're a developing country. But we know also the expectation from the public out there is so huge. And we want people to understand when they say that you only bring 5 medals, so you must be seen in the context of our input. It's not that we want to be there. We know we're a developing country. We're looking at models like Cuba, for example. 11 million people, very poor country, 11 gold medals. We're looking at the Kenyans also.
But I think this is just to show you, if you want us to bring 49 barrels of, this is what it costs. It's not that we are comparing ourselves with it, but we want people to see our barrels in context. In fact, as I think somebody said here, we do exceptionally well with the resources of this program.
Correct. Then your merit issue becomes the DA merit issue. You can't compare Australia with South Africa at all under no
circumstances.
At least you must talk about the Huawei or the Mugabe. Then I will hear that you talk about the Sutu. But when you talk about Australia and South Africa, I hear what you're trying to say. But I'm saying, in future, say it to us, in the continent of Africa, this is where South Africa is in comparing to Egypt, Morocco, Cameroon, and all those. So that would inspire me. You know, I'm not inspired by even a shred of anything from Australia. Nothing that inspires me in Australia in my lifetime. And I don't think, for as long as I live, there'll be anything that inspires me from Australia. When Australia stopped the team to go to Zimbabwe, nobody said anything about it. Yes. The DA grabbed hands because it was a good team. But nobody said anything. But Donald, when he says, no, let those players not be given the right to go to the to France to go and play because the team is furthering the agenda of racism. Then Donald Lee was crying, saying, no, she, you can't take the passport and all that. And it's a fact that they are furthering the agenda of race. You see? But it was nobody did. Only talk about it. No, fortunately, I'm the chair of the ANC. I've got this privilege of saying whatever to say. But I was just saying that compare us so that we must check ourselves. We always put ourselves under pressure. We want you to be America and Britain. But other countries that are here in South Africa, we have not really had a grasp of what is the state of the discussion. But in the next discussion, we'll engage with the discussion. Thank you.
Chair, if I may just add to that, if responding to Kenya only got space in athletics, and they bring back medals in the concentration of that. I don't have a budget of what they spend, the same as Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. They concentrate road running, marathon, and athletics. Whereas we try, maybe that's what we need to look at.
Mm-hmm. Also, Chair, I think if you look at the Ethiopians and the Kenyans, they're almost full time in the US or in Europe. They always have last night and evening. They dominate races. They live virtually in Europe and they race every week there. But also, especially in the African countries, they don't have sponsorship like we have possibility sponsorship. The state there pays for virtually every week.
There's some other questions. Sorry,
before we go to
the there are questions there.
Yes.
Thank you, Professor. I'm responding on the second question, which was related on to qualifying qualifications as not being a smart intellectual. Chairperson and the committee, on that one, as SASCOC, remember, as a macro structure, we need to have a political eye on this regard. There are certain white coats who has got a tendency of looking on to the easiest way of qualifying for more special Olympics. And the committee, through you, Chairperson, will recall that those sporting codes, on their tendency, they look on the disadvantage of our African continent, of our African brother, where they will take note of, where they will notice that because a certain sport is not strong in our continent, then rather than qualifying in Europe, they will go and qualify in Africa. So, Chairperson, I know we are quite harsh on that one, but we hope at the end, when the media is behind us, this committee will support us, because that is a political issue. And also, pending on that issue, we also look onto the issue of representativity. For instance, if we intend to allow them to go and participate on such games, before I can conclude my statement, Mr. Chairperson, I'll make an example about Commonwealth last year. There was certain sports where we found that in terms of their qualification, in terms of meeting our selection criteria,
You know, they wanted to do the same. And we said to them, we'll only select you provided your demographic is 50-50. And some of them said to us, they don't have black artists. They don't have artists of color. And we said that that's all. We don't care where you will find them. Even if you pick and select them from the street, or Alexander, or you go to any rural area, you will find the black people. And as long as we make sure that, in terms of demographics, your team will represent or will portray the demographics of the country. So that's why, Mr. Chairperson and the committee, we are saying, as SASCOG, we are quite sensitive in this process, in terms of looking onto our selection criteria. We know, even campaigning, there are those who will take that route, and we will look into that. That's what we mean by that statement. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Kent, and then the last segment is doing a follow-up by Kent.
The question on scholarship, that's just for clarity. The scholarship is from the IOC, the Solidarity Scholarship, and the IOC does that in consultation with the International Federation. So if an athlete has participated or recognized his potential, then with the NOC in the country and the IOC and the International Federation, they will conclude the scholarship. So yes, we can contribute to say yay or nay, but it basically comes from the International Federation and the IOC with regards to their scholarship. And the scholarship includes training for the athlete in preparation for 2008. So they would pay for the athlete to participate internationally or be at the high performance center to give support for that athlete. Yes, that's correct. No. It's giving the opportunity for that athlete to participate, because one of the challenges we have is international competition. You cannot be the best if you don't get the opportunity to compete internationally. So it supports both that.
Can I add to this? Also, I know in relation to that question, there was an issue of numbers, why was it 6? We applied for, if I'm quite correct, we applied for plus and minus more than 50 athletes to be considered by the International Olympic Committee so that they benefit towards such a scholarship. Unfortunately, as my president has explained, you know, it's not only us as South Africans who also embark on the same process of, you know, submitting their arts to be considered for such scholarship. Unfortunately, those were the only 6 that were considered. And again, we've got our 2 athletes who are placed, for instance, internationally. One, the judo athlete, who is based also in Morocco, as the my president is also, explained that this scholarship also assists in terms of, for instance, this cycle, it up to Beijing, they cover their qualification event as well, where they will pay for their participation towards those events, assisting them in terms of qualifying for the Olympic Games. That's why we included that thing. Thank you.
The academies and the high
school. Yes, I'm coming to that. Just on the question there, yes, the gender representation, we're trying on that, and the federations have been asked to look at that. Also, I think the FFA funding. We haven't reached what we ideally should. With regards to the academy, yes, compensatory. These academies are probably less commercial, most of them. And they probably don't provide the training, the systems, and so forth. If you look at the High Performance Center in Pretoria, that's the one that's being used. It provides the services that we require for the preparation for our athletes. But it is a commercial entity. And until we don't have our own national academy, we won't be able to provide the assistance and support for the athletes. And the provincial academies, that is what we need to maybe concentrate on.
with government, with your assistant and SACCOM, because that is the base. And with the provincial Department of Sports and the premiers, we need to see how do we implement that system. Because that's a feeder. That's where you're after the FA Games. We'd like to see those athletes that have won medals. How do they feed into the provincial and the satellite provincial academy so we can feed them to the top and hopefully 2012, 2016, those would be our Olympians. So we need assistance there with the provincial academy.
Professor, I just want to add to that one that over the years of provincial competence sport and recreation, it has advantages but it has distinct disadvantages. And I think that Mr. Brolich is absolutely correct. In terms of the provincial academies, it's probably more of a disadvantage than an advantage. And you know, I've only been on the other side of the fence for a couple of months, but I'm already very frustrated at the response of some provinces, which says, you know, you can't get involved as national government because this is a provincial competence.
Don't give them money.
So we say to them,
don't give them your money.
We're giving you money to do this, and they're saying, you don't tell us what to do. And it, you know, sports in the country is in fact a unitary system, and it's one of those things that just absolutely flabbergasts me that we cannot, and hopefully the blueprint or the white paper, whichever it's going to be called, will hopefully begin to address this, because it is a major stumbling block to the whole process in the country.
Can I just add to that, and I know it's not...
Are you finishing now?
Yes. But just to add on to that point about the competencies of the provincial academies, our provincial government, there's a huge challenge even in redesigning school sports. Because some of the provinces believe that we can't tell them what to do if they're competent.
That's what
I'll just add to that.
You see, department in SASCOC. SASCOC is the mother body for sport in the country. And we always think this, and people think that this committee let the country the mayors. You must not even allow them to go to Gauteng. If they don't recognize you, you must not allow them. And then when you don't allow them, you send a letter to the minister. They will run in their provinces. You see, up until such time you punish people with a TNE, then that they will know that they the rule of law in the country. But they will continuously saying that to you as a national body for sports in this country. Because what? You don't show them that at least the bank ends up with you. You don't show them that. And sports people in this country have never realized that the bank ends with governments. There's no two parallel governments in this country. They've not realized that. And I think it's about time, and we'll do our best to remind them that there is no any other pseudo government. There's one government in this country. Federal system. It's not federal system, it's a unitary thing. It's one government in this country. And I'm going to awaken them in a little bit harsh way. And that's where we're going.
Okay, Kev. Thank you, Father Chair. You know, the figure that we have here,
demographic breakdown. You have black 37, white 63. Chair, black 37, white 63. So it means all these high performance centers, all the big facilities that we, you know, that they have. It is benefiting predominantly the white group. I mean, let's accept that. Now, you know, after 12 years of democracy, and you know, let us also accept that Sovetica economically and in many ways has advanced tremendously. The finances of the countries too are such that I say that the state should spend far greater funds
to develop black spots at every level. If we don't do that, this I say, is very disturbing. That the real benefit goes to 63% white and just 37. I don't say that we as an African country, as a people, see, we have developed that we should have such disparities. Now, is there anyone who can say anything about that here? Why? Why? Yes.
I'd like you to respond to that. I think there's two things that you can look at. If you look at the funding of the department, the bulk of our funding, in fact, in this current financial year, is 154 million of our mass participation funding spending up exclusively in like, the previously disadvantaged areas, 100% of that is spending. This 16 million, which is referred to here, you must compare it to the 16 million spent here. And the average here are there on strictly on performance. And we showed you the categories here of how you become part of this program. You have to be in the world rankings in category 1, 1 to 5. And it has to be excellent. This is an excellence program. And it shows us that we have to do much more work. The bottom level to get more disadvantaged effort to get to the top level. But you must look at it again, what we are spending in, for example, in community, which is more than 10 times the amount that you're mentioning here. So I think it was a good in that context.
Kentucky is quite aware of that. That is why he's making an analogy of almost 30 years in democracy and with a growing economy. But when that economy grows, it grows on the advantage of another race and the disadvantage of another race. Now, what has this raising is very fundamental. It's saying, we have not done much work to be on the same path with our white counterparts. And then he's saying, what could be the reason? It can't be a reason of their top class were carrying on very. Why are we not making deliberately that those others who are in the black community there, they must come on merit and also they must go and match their counterparts. It means that 60-30% are supposed to be the reverse. Black is supposed to be 60% and white is supposed to be 30% there. But it's because we have not deliberately worked there on that level. And it doesn't exclude the question of the concern of communities to say, but black people in this country have not yet realized and seen or benefited out of this growing economy, out of this democracy. It is still skewed. It does not have an intention to make them to feel that they are part and parcel of the country. That question is what is correct. It's not about married here. And then you see, when many people talk about that, we agree with that. But you're saying, to equalize that merit, what you do? You go to those who are disadvantaged, you go and groom them, and so that they, when they come, the top athletes, then they are able to measure the other counterparts. But if you don't do anything, status quo will remain.
Yes, sir. C. Jefferson, one of the, looking back, the biggest mistakes that we most probably have made is to have given such and played such a lot of hope on federations themselves to identify athletes and for them to be developed and come through the ranks. Federations have failed desperately to do that job. And unless, through the Department of Sport and Recreation, we ensure that the mass participation program becomes what it's supposed to be, and not just about playing balls and throwing balls around the world, a talent identification takes place, the school sport program starts functioning the way it's supposed to function, then we can reflect on ourselves and look for some space where federations can fit in. But it mustn't be left over to federations to drive themselves. The second issue is that, Mr. Majeka, you're talking in tongues here and parables. You must please inform us at this stage already, we are being phoned at night and send messages through the day from certain coaches who want to go to the Olympic Games to complain. To say that, you see, they don't want to take us with because X, Y, and you know who the suspects are. The usual suspects are the same people. You must tell us where you're experiencing these difficulties. So that now already we can put a process in place for them also to see that we are looking at it very scientifically and we're also looking in terms of the national objectives that we want to achieve. That's very important. We want to know who those sport folks are. And then lastly, in terms of the last question deals with support, financial support from the private sector. One of the objectives of SESFOP is to raise funds for exactly this. How successful have you been in getting the necessary support or funding from the private sector to assist in preparing Team South Africa for the Olympic Games?
The issue I want to raise relates to the question by Comrade Kaj. In terms of the disparity between black and white representation, I'm of the opinion that whilst we call for the whole issue of transformation and people look at it in terms of numbers, take a lecture for example. The bulk of black participants are runners. You know, and they don't make provision to train blacks in the technical aspects of, for example, pole vault. What was the other one? Yeah, those field events. So, if you select the athletics team in those disciplines, it's purely white that are coming through. And we all concentrate on the whole issue of participating in terms of running. The same with other sporting events, like in cricket. You get a lot of black bowlers, but hardly any black batsmen or wicket keepers. So those technical, there's a big problem in terms of addressing that particular issue.
Okay, comrades, some of those are not the Olympic coach. So let's end over. We'll come back to you.
Chair, I'll just respond to the funding from the private sector. Like I said earlier, we're signing by the end of the month to sponsorship with Telkom and with Vodacom. So to date, we haven't had any private
corporate.
No. The funding that we've been receiving is from the National Rugby Sport and Sports Recreation and from the IOC, solidarity from the IOC. That's to date, yes. So it has been, yeah, quite challenging, and I think if we didn't get the OPEC or the high performance funding from SRC, it would be more difficult for the athletes.
I wish the media recorded that and they heard that, because very often it's been portrayed in the South African media as if this government is doing absolutely nothing to prepare our athletes for international participation, and that the private sector is delivering such a lot. And here we can see it's completely the opposite.
Just to add, the All Africa Games that we're going to be participating in, that funding is totally from the National Lottery Board, from SRSA. And yeah, we're hoping that we will do well. And that was about the corporate sector funding.
See, just on the, you know, I think that one must bring me one day to study of who the corporate sector gives money to. I think it would be very interesting. Good to see that. But the minister has requested that we host a type of breakfast meeting, a dinner, where he'd like to address the corporate sector.
I think
we will pay for it. Well, we will be addressing hosting such a meeting. We'll pay. I also just want to revert to a few other things. I think that what Mr. Heen has said there is that the question of the field events and so on. I must say, I think that to some extent, at least South Africa is working very hard to empower and participate people. And I have now been involved in school sport for a while. And if you look at the quality of the administrators that has come, especially technical people that come through ASA, I think they've done really excellent work. Our big problem is our most disadvantaged schools in the country. That's our big problem. And because if you look at both of our schools, Jim, and I don't want to say it here, I'm not in education, but there's something very hostile. We heard it recently in a meeting that we attended, that you go to those schools and the principal is not there, he's in running his taxi business.
I hope, Greg, you're not implying that they shouldn't get an increase.
No. So I want to put it on record that I think teachers deserve an increase. But I think that we need to really make those tools functional, because that is, and personal education is so important, because that is where you learn the basics of how to grip a javelin, how to do the fast free flop, how to do hurdles. That is where you learn the basics in your physical education later. And we know it's in non existent. You can't teach Mr. Reed now to go through the pole vault. You can't do that. You need to start at that young level when the kids are at school. And therefore the challenge of bringing physical education back is a major one for us.
Mr. Rasongo wanted to ask a question, but Mr. Jackie, we're waiting for a reply from these coaches that you're having difficulties with and trying to use other means to go to the Olympic Games. If you don't want to tell us now, then we expect you to let us know within the next 24 hours in writing who they are. But if you know them, you can tell us, Chief. You are protected yet inside this premises. Ask the coach, Pastor.
I didn't expect this, but I'll respond. It's obvious to you, Chaperson, that that's called like hockey. You know, if I may make an example, you know, you can call it, you know, in the previous Olympics, you know, it was the same challenge. And now, cycling is, we've got quite, you know, good riding. I'm telling you now. In cycling, for instance, most of our riders in the country are based overseas. They ride international. So far, the one that I can be able to identify that I know that it might take actually that route is going to be for me.
Okay.
Well, it might be both.
That's the second question that I had, and you've asked. It's a pity that Frederick didn't see you. I closed the question, but I don't want to flout my comrade's decision. I'm giving you, otherwise I'm not giving you. Yes,
Chairperson, I think one of my question was not answered. I said on the 50 million, I just counted the breakdown, how much do they spend on athletes and how much it is. It's not properly answered. I mean, it's not totally answered. But the other thing, Mr. Majeta, I want to ask you, I had your question on this. There are some athletes that touch and use the system. I don't know which system do they use. But I'm just saying, why should you spend money on an athlete if you know this athlete are not going to allow you to go to the Olympics? Why do we spend money on it? The second one, what I want to ask is, why should you punish an athlete, a person who says, I want to do my best, and all of a sudden you say, no, you can't go, because you don't meet whatever the color it is. Why shouldn't we punish the federation that I'm punishing the athletes themselves?
Just with regards to the money, the 60 million, obviously, this between 15% and 20% that goes into operations and the balance goes to the athlete. I can't give you an actual breakdown of how much was spent on each athlete, because you have team sports as well. So the funding goes to the team and not to a specific individual athlete, but we can maybe provide that. But between 15% to 20% out of the 60 million would be for administration and operations.
Yes.
And just on the other question in terms of the selection of the athletes, we find, and this is what I think Greg spoke about and Kaya, that we need to address, is that doesn't mean you qualify, you're going to be selected. It depends how you're qualified. We're trying to balance our act here, playing field. So, you know, I can be from a privileged family or whatever, and I can participate and qualify because the federation might not have money, but because I come from a environment where my parents or whoever can give me money to go and compete and I qualify. We need to balance our acts here as well. And just because you've qualified doesn't mean you're going to go.
No,
and
thank you.
Just if I may elaborate on that, maybe just, I don't know if you remember, I think it's in 2000, with hockey. In Africa, there's about 6 countries that play hockey. That's not a true reflection of qualification. And at that point in time with DOCSA, we didn't include them. And it went to the highest authority of the international hockey, and they accepted our decision that you cannot compare because they qualified in Africa. And it's only Egypt and Algeria that's probably stronger than them, that at the same level in Nigeria. So that doesn't mean you qualify for the Olympics. And at the same time, they were not transformed either.
I like that one of disqualification because they were not transferred either. But let's not talk about it. Greg, I'm giving you a minute.
Just Chairperson, I wonder, in future we would like to know also the process of consultation that sits in. What role does the Department have any say when it comes to matters like this? For instance, I'm a conference chairperson. That cycling all of a sudden overnight has become this model of transformation where they will have cyclists going to the Olympic Games, and for whatever reason or people are going, we had budget hearings where hockey came to do presentations to us. That's on record to say what they are doing in different communities in collaboration with the mass participation program, etc. And one asked, what is the difference then between hockey and cycling? I received a phone call from people in the Bola cycling, the team going to the All Africa Games, saying that they have 2 black cyclists that is not going to be part of being allowed to be part of the South Africa to go to the All Africa Games. And they say, and you are telling us there's no black cyclists, but here we give 2 black cyclists, could well go and compete there, but they are not going to go to the All Africa Games. Those type of, I don't want to call it inconsistencies, but the matters that crop up. But we can engage on this one, Chairperson. But we need very, very good reasons. What is your problem actually with hockey, if you let cycling go?
Yes, sir.
Chairperson, when the speaker mentioned cycling, I will say, so far, cycling is performing very well in the international cycling. But that's mean to say, in terms of transforming, are doing well. For instance, before we go back on the issue of All Africa Games, we were the ones who turned their team back and say, make sure that your team is in line with the memorandum of agreement that we signed. So we need to make sure that, you know, all the races of this country are represented in terms of democratic system. So I'm happy with the information that you're coming up with. It's not Poland that turned the team back. It was Sasko who had turned the team back. Fortunately, our first step when we are selecting these teams, we always formulate or draft a memorandum of agreement, which will be signed by each and every president. Now, come a time when we are finalizing the selection process, we always take them back to certain clauses within that memorandum of agreement. So that's why with cycling, they had to comply on the discussion of random agreement. When it comes into Beijing, we haven't selected the team yet. I think I've clarified this thing.
That's okay. We're happy about the preparation, the information. We will be watching all those preparations. And we will be watching whether before the act is in place, these teams are leading this country as really wise as they are. But if that happens, say to them, at least it's the last one before next one when probably the act will be passed. They must not get hands at the airport because it will never happen again in this country. Everybody in this country will not, it will never happen. Magic. So that criteria of democracy is right. Still, the act is going to happen because you see, if you don't want to do things voluntarily,
who will have a way of making you to go that direction. Yeah. So as you tell them, and even if maybe you have closed your eye and then they go outside the country, but whisper to them that it might be the last that you go to Beijing as you are.
That person, if they are at the airport, they must be through customs already. Because if they are before customs, they can go.
No, I will not take the passport. I will not take the passport. Thank you very much. Greg, thanks for the presentation. But Greg, we are going to talk with you and then Saskov when we come back. The question that Cedric raised, I want us to follow that up. When these children come from Beijing, what happened to them? Are they like the under 19 of the rugby, which win the World Cup twice and disappear at the end? You can't find them anywhere, even under in the streets you can't find them. Now, this team that is going to Beijing, all those teams that are going there, and then what is going to happen to those athletes? You must give them opportunity, both black and white. And therefore, we must talk about these athletes that are going to select to go to this Olympic. And to what extent now are we carrying them further than what they have produced in the, for the country? All of them. We'll talk about that one. The other thing is that, Greg, I was looking at the Pretoria High Performance Center and the amount of money that we pay for preparation for the team in the high performance and all that. It's good. Pretoria High Tech is very good. But what Angela raised and then what was saying is that there is a potential that a high performance center. So that out of the whole cycle of changing, we are also helping them in terms of resources, LSM. Because each time and again, when that tender comes, the whole billion goes to Pretoria. And then you say the Eastern Cape, let it die. KwaZulu-Natal must die. Free State must die. I do not think that it would be a proper way of dealing with this kind of thing. And when this contract ends, I'll just check how, which other university or any other province that has not benefited out of that. You also give them the medium term expenditure type of, I'm not saying they must not tender, but I'm saying in your tender document, you can't say it must stay for the takings for the rent. It can't be. It has been there from the time I can recall up until today. I think there is a time now that it has to move a little bit and go to the others. It can go even to the high other high performance centers like the what is that one that you think in the government? Next level? Point through. And as soon as it is this other, then it's alright, you go to another one. But I'm not a proponent of giving the resources where already there is an abundance of resources. I'm a proponent of saying where there are no enough resources, how can we deliberately go and assist them to bring resources to the academy? There is a sports science institute in the Free State, which is a government sports science institute. I have not had government taking athletes there, or even these teams that belongs to the PSN goes there for that institute, for them to be tested and do everything and pay for that government institution so that it must be sustainable, it must stay there for quite a long time. Because that institute was meant for the poor people, ordinary, who are not able to go and pay what we are paying in Newlands there in that institute or elsewhere in the world. So I think we must look into those kind of things. We take it to be huge.
Okay, I think we've heard you. We've learned also from this experience. We will definitely write the tender specifications differently for the next time, so that we don't speak of a, like we had in this particular, a one-stop shop for all athletes. Because we believe that there are certain places that may be better for certain sports than others. But I think one of the things we also need to do, and I think something that CESPA probably will have to take the lead with, is to make sure that all these academies work towards the same objective. They not all put in the different direction. There must be synergy. There must be a system where everybody, when we talk about a particular standard, that we all know what we're talking about. So there should be some form of accreditation for these high performance centers, so that we all know when we talk about a particular standard, at what happens at the University of the North, West, or what happens in Nelson Mandela University, we can compare it, so that we set certain standards for these institutions.
Thank you very much. But, we have raised the issue of standards in terms of the academies that are mushrooming every day in the country. We have raised that. And then in our next discussion, they will be giving us the audit of those and the qualifications of those. Those that do not conform to that standard, which is the standard that is going to be given to the country, close them down. So we are going to come to that in the long run. Thank you very much. We will give quickly to the Football Supporters Association to present to us on their support for the national team. Are you supporting only the football? But I can see the nice mixture of the rugby and football, I can see. And then you must just introduce yourself, who you are, and all those things, so that we can finish. There are two associations here. Or is one? Where is the one? Oh, there is another one, yes. There is another one. It's Mr. Nostalgia, eh? Okay. Oh, Mr. Sanders. And then whenever we met?
Mistake.
No. Oh, like, no. Oh, when did that
happen? Yeah, right.
So, who feed them? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's give to the gentleman quickly, and then we'll give to Takem Singh. And please introduce yourself. We don't know who you are. Welcome, Mr. Solar. We didn't create problems. You want to go? Yeah, no, but I wanted to, Greg, listen to this. They're not going to be too long. We're going to be short, but it's important because there is the SABC Mobile campaign. And there is Football Supporters Association. A Supporters Association must support the campaign for the national team and all that. So we are going to find out a number of those things because we want to check how are they collaborating and communicating. But you'll give it to you'll give it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to thank the members of the Portfolio Committee as well for extending the invitation for us to come into implementation. My name is Joshua Kandam from South African Football Supporters Association, and Mr. Professor Jan Pretorius from Portis Room at the School, and Professor Bishop from Portis Room at the School. We have appointed them as our management consultants because of the expertise that they've got in terms of marketing, sponsorship strategy, and so forth. South African Football Supporters Association was formed last year. We were aware that there were some Ghana 1, but we are saying why are we not seeing most of our people winning our national selects? So those are issues that Father Facebook Paul is all about. We want to make a point that when decisions are taken, the supporters must also be consulted. But we are also saying that it's very important that now we must also have an influence on how the South African football is being managed, and the people who are in the leadership of South African football. There are instances whereby we believe that there are such issues that we want to raise, but not at any platform, as we are not recognized by the staff of the Federation. So maybe in so many ways, we have to take them where the programs with us so that we can put our position as well. Why do you think that we as the supporters of South African football?
They don't want to have an audience with the supporters of the team.
Yeah. We bring on the truth of them, they even promise to the members of the media that they will help us and so forth. But we are saying that when you look to SAFA 2010 people, they said there are more than 22.2 million supporters who are supporting South African football. Now we are saying as South African football supporters, our association, we want to make a point that we mobilize, we organize all those supporters who are not registered so that they can be registered. We have already started with them. Establishment of the branch of which we go through that when we do our presentation. And now with the breakdown of the branches that we have already started to establish, and also ask Professor Jan to go through that. But our position as a South African football supporters, our constitutional mandate is to organize, to mobilize, and to inform the supporters. But we also want to be the voice of the supporters. So if we are not happy about the way the government is not, you know, administering sports in South Africa, we want to engage the government. When we are not happy about SAFA, the way they are managing and the leadership of SAFA, we want to have a say on that. We also want to have a say in terms of who are the people who are leading the South African football. For instance, we are also aware about what is happening with the SABC, about the broadcasting rights that went to Super Sport United. We are also very concerned about it, because we are aware that now most of our people, the poor of the poorest, we don't have access to digital satellite television. So we want to address all those issues. We are saying enough is enough. It's time whereby also the supporters of South African football, their voice must be heard. When decisions are taken, they must also participate. And then, basically, in short, because we don't have enough time, that's what South African football supporters is all about. We have done very well as a benchmark as of now, with 88 branches that we've got in our three provinces because of lack of resources in Gauteng, this state, and in North West. We have also attracted the attention of big sponsors in South Africa, Sasol, MTN, Richard Malin from FLC, and so forth. But now, because now we have appointed also the Business School of Portuguese School, we are having a very good relationship with their expertise and resources and so forth for the interest of the game. But Mr. Chairperson, I must also say that we are not going to be able to market and teach a very good development of football in South Africa as long as we don't have a full-time Banyana and a full-time.